now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
You're looking good in Rainbowland.
Oh, why, thank you. Welcome to Shout Out, your favourite magical rainbow enhanced magazine show.
This week,
Queer Vision is back. We talk to Harriet about the upcoming films on view, and we chat to Matt from Bath Pride.
All right here
on Shout Out in the next hour.
Hello, people. How are we? I think
all right,
we're all about
Hello.
8 seconds adrift, aren't we? Because we're
Hello?
Doing it remotely. Hello, Terry.
Hello. Is there anyone there? Anyone live out there? Can you hear me? just so the listeners are aware, we are remoting in this evening, which is a bit different because we haven't done this for many, many months. So it's always an interesting experience when you're not actually in the room, but we are in a different kind of queer room tonight, right?
You're all intimately in my bedroom in the Riverside Studios, which is about 3 feet away from my bed. So if I were...
first time
finally
for anything.
Made it.
You have first time for anything.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
Terry does not look amused.
Yeah, Terry's not bothered.
No.
Is that because you're a gay man, Terry?
It might be.
Terry, are you gay?
Are there gay people on this show?
No.
Gosh. Well, somebody could have warned me. You know, safe spaces. I need to feel like I'm in a safe space.
Oh, we can talk
Too
about
soon?
The the Qualities Commission. We're actually talking to MPs today, and Faulkner was in there spreading her hate and saying that, it's only 8,426 trans people that we're after, those with GRCs. We don't care about the others. And trans people will have to just take a cut in what they think is their rights. Great. Well done, Faulkner.
What was, if you could summarise it, Steph, because I'll be honest, listeners, I can't cope with much more of the news, so I try to stay educated, but really my summaries per day come from Steph. So what is the summary of what's actually been going on?
She says, amongst other things, that the guidance in trans access to single-sex spaces, which means the loos, could be law by next year. Now, that's only if it goes through Parliament, because she can only suggest. She can't actually make things law. That's down to the MPs. It's just the thing she was saying to the MPs is pretty tragic. Privacy laws don't apply to trans people using public toilets. So in other words, they're taking the rights away from, as she points out, 8,426 trans people with a GRC. So it means if you're taking rights away from one group of people, it doesn't mean to say you're taking the rights away from everybody, because that's just a first step. Tara, what do you think?
Well, I'm slightly worried that, you know, it doesn't affect just trans women. It affects anyone that doesn't fit into a female persona that is kind of like feminine enough or whatever you want to, however you want to describe it. I mean, it's going to really impact so many people, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. We had her on the show. My mind's gone blank because she was absolutely incredible. But she was talking about how, obviously, that her heart was saddened by the impact of trans people, but she was also talking about the reality of the impact this is having on cis women too, you know, or any person who identifies as female, non-binary, that is going into a bathroom that doesn't look like what society depicts or J.K. Rowling depicts as a female, you know, long hair, feminine clothing, or what society states as feminine clothing, and she was talking about, you know, what if you've got PCOS, what if you've got facial hair, what if you've shaved your head, what if you've lost your hair, what if you have alopecia, like there's, you know, what if you don't have a bust, what if, you know. Yes,
Tara.
I thought that there's a real good point made by the actual publicans and that sort of community, they were kind of saying, we've got enough to do with just kind of running the business without having to police the sodden toilets. You know what I mean? It's like,
yep.
You know.
Yeah, indeed. Right, we're going to have to move on. We will come back to this subject in a bit later on in the show. But for now, there is a link word running through all the tracks we're playing throughout the show. This is track one.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, you know all around the world it's Pride season. And I know that the world tends to try and shoehorn us into just 1 month, but take it from me, there's Pride events throughout the whole of the summer and they don't stop until it gets through to the autumn. And one of those is coming right at the height of the summer is Bath Pride. Now, you haven't been going long, have you, Matt? Just give us a bit of background. How did Bath Pride start?
Yeah, so last year one of our the original founder, a guy called Tommy, had some time off work and was wanting to fill up his time doing something, and looked around and realised that Bath did not actually have its own Pride event, which, considering what year it is seems a bit daft, because there is actually quite a large LGBTQA plus scene in Bath. So they decided to take that time to start setting up its Bath's first ever Pride last year. It was very DIY, I will say, very grassroots Pride. Obviously, as the years grow, we want to get bigger and make it more accessible to people across not just Bath, but any neighbouring places that might not have a Pride of its own. So we had the first Bath Pride last year, and to say we were overwhelmed by the response is a complete understatement. We were organising it hoping that maybe like 200 to 300 people will come, if that's anywhere close to being lucky. And we got around about 1,000, maybe a little over, for the whole day. Which, as the march was happening and more people were just adding on, it just absolutely blew our minds. Like, all of us were trying to contain this march with just a group of volunteers, and every now and again just catching eyes with each other, being like, what is happening? Like, how is this getting so big? And I think if anything, it just proves that this community needed this, and it's shocking that it didn't happen before, to be honest. But it's so nice to see so many people come and enjoy the day, and it really just shows how much this community deserves an event like that.
It does. And I was at that, the very first one. And do you know that all the years that we've been covering Prides have always been broadcasting, usually at Bristol Pride, for the last 10 years? That was the first march I've ever been on, was Bath Pride.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm usually busy working behind the scenes
at
Bristol Pride. So it was great to be at that one. And we did promo you. So I'm not saying it's all shout out that got you people, but we did say how easy it is to get from Bristol into Bath and the surrounding areas, Frome, Glastonbury. There's buses, trains. It really is easy to get to Bath. I mean, Bristol to Bath connections are huge. You've got the X39 that's about every 10 minutes. You've got trains that are every 10 minutes.
And only take 10 minutes to get in from Bristol, actually. I think it's 12 minutes on the train, which really shocked me when I first moved here, actually, how close it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it takes longer to walk anywhere from Templemead Station, actually.
Because it does,
It's right in the middle of the city, whereas Templemeads is 20 minutes outside of the city or the shopping area at Cabot and Broadmead. It was a really great march, and I think it did surprise everyone for your first march. It was great, and the fact that you had permission to walk right through the middle of the town, and Bath is always packed with tourists, and it gets so many more tourists than any surrounding town or city, including Bristol, which is, Bath is so tiny, isn't it, for a city? It's the size of a town.
Yeah, it's obviously, it's such a historic city, but in terms of population, it's not as big as any of our neighboring cities. Which I do feel like often people here feel like they sort of missed out on everything except for tourism, actually, a lot of the time because of that.
Yeah, Now, there's something special about small prides, and we've covered and broadcast from Weston-super-Mare Pride when it was a small park and it was very intimate with families and lots of people knowing each other, meeting new friends and all that. And Bath had a similar vibe to those early days of Weston-super-Mare. Very, very uncorporate, whereas like the big ones like Liverpool and Brighton are very corporate now. What is the route and where are people meeting to go on that very special march through the city?
Well, similar to last year, we had it at the Holborn last year. This year, if all goes to plan, we are having it at Sydney Gardens, just behind the Holborn, just because it's a bit of a bigger space, but it's still very accessible from the city centre. And the march is, again, going to be a very similar route. Instead of meeting at the rec and doing the walk, we're actually just meeting straight at Sydney Gardens and doing the loop back. The reason we chose to do that was in case anyone is unable to do the march for accessibility reasons, it means that they're already at the site for where all the festivities will be happening later. So it's about the same route. So it'll be walking up Great Pulteney Street, around a few of the city streets, and then back up here, Great Pulteney Street, just because it was absolutely fantastic image to see all those people walking up such a historic street. And that route itself is incredibly accessible, so it makes it very easy for anyone, no matter their ability, if they want to do the march, if they want to join in, they're able to, which was very, very important to quite a lot of our trustees and committee members.
Can I just say as well, the shock on some tourists' faces who weren't expecting, you know, 1,000 people to be marching through the city. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant. Yeah. And also, you pass a dozen coffee shops, ice cream parlors or gelato stores. So if you do need an ice cold drink or an ice cream, you can just pop in and join the back of the march again.
That's true. It was a long enough march that you did have about 5-10 minutes.
Yes.
If you're at the front, if you want to like catch up. Yeah. Honestly, like I still can't get the image out of my mind. Just it was one of the most pleasant shocks I've ever had in my life from that. March.
Yeah, and I concur. It was something very special went on that day. So what events can people expect at the actual place where you're starting and ending the march?
Well, it's going to be very similar to last year. We obviously had that grassroots DIY feeling at the last one, and we do actually want to keep hold of that, because so many people thought about it so lovingly. So again, we're going to be having a family-based picnic, something that's accessible to everyone, no matter what age they are. And we're going to still have quite a few stalls there for like different charities and different queer businesses, as well as different music acts. So that's the stuff and the march, of course. So that's what will be going on during the day. During the evening, we're touring with a few ideas at the minute, so I'll not give too much away until everything's confirmed. But yeah, it's going to be the same as last year, just a lovely safe space for families and queer people, just anyone who's wanting and able to come along. It's just something to make them feel safe and homely. It's the real goal.
Yeah. So give us some timings then of where people should meet, because you're expecting quite a large crowd to be on the march. I'm guessing you want people there reasonably early.
Yes. So timing wise, I'm not entirely sure of the meetup time yet. It will probably be very similar to last year. It will be on Saturday, the 26th of July this year. So, which I think might actually be the first time we're announcing that.
Ah, okay, a scoop for Shoutout.
It is. I'm sure it's finally told you. Yeah, because that is the date, although it's yet to be publicised. So okay. That is a little scoop for you. But yeah, so it'll be Saturday the 26th of July. Obviously, it's earlier than we did last year. Last year it was start of August. This year it's going to be 26th of July. And hopefully the plan is that next year it will be I'll not give away that date, but it will be at a different date, and that is the date that we are hoping to have it at the same time every single year going forward as well.
Okay.
So that means people can block it off in their calendars well in advance.
Right, so people can stay in touch with timings and potentially any changes in case of something happens at the last minute. So what are your social medias and the website, please, Matt?
So it's at Bath Pride on everything social, and the website is bathpride.org. So all the updates and everything will either be going through our socials or through the website, most likely both. So there are any updates that we have, that's where we share them immediately.
Okay. And don't forget, folks, the transport from outside of Bath is exceptionally good, especially if you're running in from Bristol. Bath Spa is on the main, Swansea, Cardiff, Bristol, Swindon, London route. So if you're in any of those towns or cities, you can actually make Bath Pride quite quickly because those trains move quite fast. There's also a really good bus service, especially between Bristol and Bath, the X39 being the main route and the quickest one. And they run every 10 minutes during the day. And of course, from the towns around, there's direct bus services from Radstock and Frome and all the other outliers. So if you live in places like Swindon, Frome, Glastonbury, Radstock, even across in places like Newport and Chepstow, you're so within easy reach of a very special and very intimate Pride at Bath. Matt, thank you for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Forward.
Thank you.
Very well.
No, thank you very much.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Terry has the news.
Thank you very much, Steph. This is Shoutout News. Welcome along. LGBT Nation Newswire remarks that marriage equality was implemented in the States exactly 10 years ago. On Friday, the 26th of June 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that states weren't allowed to ban same-sex couples from marrying. The Equal Protection Clause and the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution protected people's fundamental right to choose who to marry. In a 5-4 decision, with one Republican-appointed justice, Anthony Kennedy, siding with the four Democratic justices, the Supreme Court ruled that all levels of government had to treat same-sex relationships the way that opposite-sex relationships were treated. Justice Kennedy, voting for the majority, made it clear that the only way to support the values of marriage is to let more people get married. No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideas of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice and family, Justice Kennedy wrote. It would misunderstand these men and women to say they disrespect the idea of marriage. Their plea is that they do respect it so deeply that they seek to find its fulfilment for themselves. Their hope is not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions, he wrote. LGBTQ Nation websites say that they will be marking this anniversary through the month of June with articles from legal experts, social affairs commentators and activists who were there and who have seen marriage equality evolve since. Chippenham Hospital Radio reports that while this year's Chippenham Pride won't be on the same large scale as the past 2 years, organisers promise an event that's full of heart, joy and inclusivity. There will be local performances, community spaces and the same powerful spirit that makes Pride so special. Among the events will be a flag-raising ceremony in the town centre, open mic at the Waverley, drag karaoke at Grounded Coffee Bar and a queer and alternative market at King Alfred Hall. Events take place over Saturday and Sunday, the 14th and 15th of June, and a full listing available on the website of Chippenham Hospital Radio at chippenhamhospitalradio.com/news/7320. And at the other end of the scale of Pride events comes a major corporate support for the Elton John AIDS Foundation, the organisation which has earned great publicity success after being kicked out of Russia under its anti-gay gag laws, is this year partnering with Betsy Johnson, Versace, Lalique, Grey Marlin and Baldy. These important donors join others, including Walmart and Clear Channel. For further information about partnering with the foundation, visit eltonjohnaidsfoundation.org. Student Pride, the body that encompasses the various student LGBT plus campaigns around the country, is taking part in Pride London on the 5th of July. They say, we're just under a month away from London. If you're invited to march with Student Pride, we're here and we're queer, celebrating the liberation and everyday existence of LGBTQIA plus people. We have organised a walking group for the march on Saturday the 5th of July. All you need is to fill in a form, which you can find on our website. Places in the walking group are limited and will be allocated on a first-come, first-time basis. So if you want to march at London Pride with the Student Pride Network, visit allthews.studentpride.co.uk. The communist daily newspaper Morning Star reports that hundreds of GMB members marched through Brighton demanding an estimated £30 million equal pay settlement for female council workers during its annual congress this week. More than 1,000 employment tribunal claims have been lodged against the Labour-run authority so far. The average claim is expected to top £30,000 of unfairly lost wages over 6 years, with the GMB's General Secretary, Gary Smith, vowing to take the campaign to every council in Britain. Addressing the protesters at the city's town hall after they marched through the seaside resort with an Indian banger band, he said, "This is about wage theft. They've been stealing money off women workers, predominantly working class women. We've got to take this battle to every town and city across the UK. We are going to be taking industrial action and be on the streets protesting, and we are going to be absolutely making sure that the Labour government makes good on its promise to bring enforcement on equal pay." Progressive magazine 19 reports that almost 3 years after the fall of Roe versus Wade made way for near total abortion bans in the states, state lawmakers are weighing whether to offer more specific guidance about when doctors can perform abortions in a medical crisis. Texas, Kentucky, and Tennessee all passed laws this year ostensibly clarifying their scope of their abortion bans, a reaction to climbing sepsis rates and harrowing stories of patients who have suffered or died preventable deaths. Since June 2022, lawmakers in at least 9 states have introduced such bills. But doctors, attorneys and policy experts say that the laws being enacted will not solve the problems health providers have been forced to navigate since the end of Roe. The risk of being punished has deterred physicians, hospitals and health systems from providing consistent care, even when it is needed. Molly Meegan, the Chief Legislative Officer and General Counsel to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, said, "The problem with these clarifying laws is that they don't expand access under the law, they don't change the definitions, and they don't remove the legislative interference in the practice of medicine." And online magazine Them.us reprints a piece from Teen Vogue this month on what it means to be undocuqueer at the interface between illegal immigration, LGBT plus identity, and the hostile environment in US government policy towards immigrants. Many states with Republican-controlled legislatures are attempting to pass anti-queer legislation, and they're also the states pushing for extreme anti-immigration legislation as well. In its most recent legislative session, Texas, where a draconian Senate Bill 4 has been heavily criticized for encouraging racial profiling in the state's attempt to deport individuals suspected of cross-border activity, filed over 76 anti-queer bills as well. Donald Trump's 2024 presidential win will intensify challenges for undocumented people over the next term, especially given his promise of mass deportations and reduced asylum protections. Trump's agenda also specifically outlined challenges for LGBTQ individuals, limiting access to healthcare and affirming services and rolling back Title 11 protections. The essay is fascinating and worth reading online at them.us. Well, that's it for another week. We shall be back, same time, same channel next week, for more LGBTQIA plus news and information. Meanwhile, why not visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, as Bristol Pride is back, so is Queer Vision. And I'm joined by Harriet from Queer Vision. And she's going to tell us all about what we can expect. How long is it going to be running for this year, Harriet?
So we're back at the Watershed, starting from the 28th of June, running through till the 11th of July, which is the day before Bristol Pride. It's a full 2 weeks, pretty much, with a couple of exceptional days where I get a little bit of time off. But other than that, we're pretty much going straight through.
Okay. Are you allowed to tell us what's coming up, or is some of that still secret?
No, I'd be delighted to talk about it. The program's all gone live now, and print programs should be being dispersed around the city so people can go and pick up a copy of the full Pride program. But yeah, we're kicking off with a trio of queer Brazilian features, which I'm very excited for. We don't get a lot of queer Brazilian cinema, but it's always very colourful and very erotic, let's say. And we've also got a wonderful little short film for the third feature of that, which kind of brings the kind of modern and more traditional elements of that cinema together very nicely. So the first film of that is Night Stage. Second one, we're doing Baby. And then the third one, we are showing an older film called Onda Nova, translates as New Wave. Which is about football. So come along if you're doing your five-a-sides, bring the whole team.
Excellent. Are you going to still have some of the films where somebody is given a chat, or people are allowed to have a chat after and be told about the director and that, and a bit of audience participation?
Yep, we've got quite a few of those coming up as well. We're hoping to have a discussion around one of the Brazilian films, probably from one of the local Latin American cinema groups that have popped up in Bristol. We've also got a wonderful selection of disabled and queer films, short films, which will be followed by a post-screening discussion. We've got a few panelists coming along, so that one's definitely worth keeping an eye on. And that event is also fully BSL interpreted with descriptive subtitles, so everyone can enjoy these wonderful films. And then we've also got a fantastic Q&A happening on the 10th of July. Sorry, I had to give me a bit of pause then. 10th of July. For a film called Drip Like Coffee. Anaya Sisko is coming to join us from New York City to be here in person. And again, this event fully BSL interpreted. So do come along. And yeah, if you enjoy sort of black queer cinema and or coffee themed queerness, then it's definitely one to catch.
Tell us a little bit about the Watershed, where the films are going to be shown and where it is, because people from outside of Bristol might not know about that venue, and because it is set in a lovely setting, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The Watershed, for those who don't know, it's along Bristol's quite famous harbourside, I would say. Absolutely lovely setting, but obviously we don't want people walking out along the harbour, we want them coming in to watch the films. So either side of that, by all means, take in a little constitutional. But yeah, it's very central Bristol. We've been partnering with the Watershed since the very beginning. They've been kind of our biggest venue. It's fully accessible with lift and wheelchair access. So that, you know, there's no sort of physical obstacles to our audiences getting there, hopefully. And the venue staff, they're always very welcoming and friendly. So yeah, we're hoping that people feel right at home there watching some wonderful queer cinema.
And now, what about eating and drinking?
Eating and drinking in the cinemas? Or
No, actually at the venue, the watershed, you know, what's available for people who are going to the cinema.
Can they get a drink? Yeah, if you want to make a night of it, Watershed, they've got their cafe bar area, which is, you know, you can get your full meals there, or just, you know, cheeky little drink before the screenings start. They're all evening ones, so alcohol is absolutely fine and maybe not encouraged, but it's fine. You can also bring them through into the cinema rooms. And yeah, we love to kind of sit around in there afterwards, just a bit more informally. We love to meet people who've come to our screenings and to hear what your thoughts are. So I'll make myself known on the night. But yeah, please come and talk to me in person as well. I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on that.
It's very accessible by bus. And if you're coming in by train on Temple Meads, there's lots of buses from there into the centre. And that is where you want to head for the centre, because the harbour side is right there. The whole area is packed with restaurants and bars anyway. So if you want to make it, like Harriet said, have a night of it, you can do, and go for a drink and a meal after. It's a great area. There's also easy parking. There's quite a large underground car park just around the corner. So there's no excuse not to go. So remind us of the dates again, Harriet, so that people have got it fresh in their mind, and also socials and your website, so people can keep tabs on what you're up to.
Of course. So very first film screening is 8 p.m. Saturday, the 28th of June. Very first one, please come along. Always a bit nervous for the first one, hoping that people will show up. So if you want to come and support, that would be amazing. And then we're following through pretty much every day until the 11th of July. On that day, we're showing a lovely Korean drama, all about Pride, actually, in South Korea. So it's a very fitting one to kind of follow on to Pride Day on the 12th of July there. So yeah, if you want to keep the celebrations going, then that's always a nice one. You can find out all about these films at queervisionfilm on socials, and then the Queer Vision tab through the Bristol Pride website, bristolpride.co.uk/queervision.
Harriet, thank you once again, and good luck with the festival.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us. Lovely to chat.
The Shout Out Podcast.
She comes in lots of colours. The Rolling Stones answer to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I think we all come in many colours,
don't we?
What's your favourite colour?
Indeed. Pastely pink and pastely blue. Obviously.
And very white.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Pastely pink, pastely blue. Yeah. And white. That sounds like the trans flag.
Maybe.
Yeah. Love it.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Well, there we go. We got very political at the start of the show, but we're going to continue in that vein, I think. And Tara, you have the name of the next incumbent from the Equalities Commission, do you not?
Yeah, I did have it in my... The problem is, a lot of people are not very liking the next one that's being proposed.
No, I've
fair
heard.
With it. So, a petition has been launched campaigning against the announcement of Dr. Mary Ann Stevenson as the government's preferred candidate for the next chair of the Equality Commission. Equality Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, there's a bit of a rumour about being a bit gender critical.
No,
why is the one that's already there going? I don't even understand
this.
It's
a set term, isn't it? You're for a set, I believe.
Okay.
30th of November, is that right? Yeah.
Well, and they can't continue from then?
I think she's burnt the bridges, hasn't she?
Yeah, but I feel like the bridges are already burnt for the next one.
Okay, you never know.
I think, to be honest, like just my tiny little opinion is that it would be really nice if we just got somebody that was educated, that actually sat in a space of trans and queer people and listened.
Do you think they'll ever employ someone that's queer?
No, but all, yeah, exactly. But all we're getting is cis white women of privilege making all these horrific decisions that are affecting the lives of all trans, queer, non-binary people. And I just don't get it. I don't know how they sleep at night.
No, indeed. Lucy, what's your views on what's going on?
I'm just kind of flabbergasted by the way the individual who spoke in Parliament, who's also completely escaped my knowledge, and that's really, really terrible. But sort of, oh yeah, that's it, Baroness Faulkner, sort of trying to use the justification that privacy laws don't apply to trans people. When has that ever been justifiable to say about an entire group of people? One of the things that sort of defines our humanity is our right to a privacy. And she's just really shown like who she is, basically, in her view of the humanity of trans people, just by saying this basic human right. And I'm fairly sure it's up there. I'm absolutely extemporizing now as to whether it is a human right. But for her to actually be allowed to say that in Parliament and not be challenged is absolutely flabbergasting.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And there's no compassion. You know, we're literally watching a group of narcissists who have privilege beyond we can even understand, all stood in a room making decisions that they have no true understanding of those consequences. Sorry, stumbling over my words there because I feel very impassioned by this.
It's very easy for us to go into a right old rant, isn't it? And
yeah,
and lose our rag and start swearing and that. But I guess because we're broadcasting and we have to have the balanced view, being an LGBTQIA show, it is very difficult not to show any emotion to actually what's going on. And I'm finding it very difficult not to be very, very upset about this.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, as a therapist, I've got clients that are looking to move out of this country now. They're like, they're trying to work out their escape route.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's where we're at. We've got people that are trying to decide, is it Netherlands, is it Portugal, is it Australia, is it New Zealand? Because it's definitely not the UK.
Yeah, actually, sorry, that's a really, really good point. I think this needs to be talked about more, actually, maybe on another show. Is that, also, I am a therapist, and I only have about 10 private clients, and 6 of them are trans, and 6 of them are looking at moving out of the UK. They feel so unsafe, yep, and frightened. And I'm talking about 22-year-olds, young people that are now looking at getting enrolled on degrees that potentially they don't even want to do, but so that they can move somewhere. Yes, Lucy?
I think it's also worth bearing in mind that, you know, this was, I mean, it's absolutely horrific the way trans people are being treated, but this is not even the beginning of the end game. And this is what's so infuriating, is that these gender critical women are such useful patsies for something that is quite blatantly coming down the wire. There's really good studies of who funds these groups, what else their agendas are. Yeah. And it's not like the end game wasn't blindingly obvious, and that crushing trans people is on the way to the end game, which is even worse. Not only are they being trans people and non-binary people being treated in this inhuman manner, it's not even the destination. So, I find myself, I can't believe that us cis people can't wake up and smell that flipping coffee about this and understand where they want this to go. It's so it's so mind-boggling to me.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
The stacked deck of cards, aren't we? That's the problem. I mean, even the barrister that's representing EHRC has got so many fingers in other pies that are part of the gender critical team as well.
I don't actually know where they want this to go. I don't think they know. I feel like it's a really confusing space for these people, because I want to understand why all these cis people have so much time and emotional investment in being hateful. Like, come on, have you got nothing else to do? Because you're not educating yourself, you're not reading a book.
I think we should give the last word to Terry, because we're fast running out of time. You've got 30 seconds, Terry, to tell the world.
I'd like to echo what Lucy said, and those small number of lesbian feminists who jumped on the gender critical bandwagon have opened a Pandora's box, which they'll come for them next. And be careful what you wish for.
Couldn't agree more.
Indeed, because you only got to look.
It's a very small minority. Yeah. Most feminists still support trans rights.
Yeah, you only got to look at what happened in the 20s and 30s to see what the Nazis did, to see that this is going in the same direction.
It is the same direction. It's happening now.
They'll pick us off one by one.
Yes, they will. We're out of here, and so soon. Whatever you're doing, keep those rainbows flying high. You are loved. For the past shows, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel.
Until then, stay safe.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.